I've sensed the Lord's presence here so very strong today, and I'm very grateful. You ready to study the Word? Oh, me too. Let's do it then. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, put a marker there, and then jot on over to 2 Timothy 1. Romans chapter 8, then on to 2 Timothy 1. Just to recap something that Tanner told you about, and that is we do have a team of 10 getting ready to go to Guatemala again. And we will leave in October, the early part of October, so you'll be in prayer for that. Here's a couple things. Number one, we have people from our church and then not outside of our church, even out of state, that's going with us. Here's one of the things that you can be praying about, and maybe even that would inspire you to not only pray, but then to give. We are having the privilege of partnering with a church in Florida who does not have a missions program. They do local things, but they don't do international missions at all. And so they have one that's going with us. And we have the opportunity to partner and lead the way and encourage them to be on mission. And so this will be the first person that they're sending out of their church. You can be praying for that be supportive of that through your prayers and through your giving. If you'd like to give to Guatemala to see the needs of our team members met, to get them on the field, it's about $1,600 per person to go. Everybody's raising their own funding. And so a little help goes a long way. So if you want to give, generally that can be dispersed among the team evenly, or if there's definitely a need. The other thing is that if all that's paid for, if everything is settled with our team members, then we bless the people when we go. We bless our missionaries there and those efforts. We don't keep it for ourselves. We leave it with them. And so you can know that it will be going to further the kingdom of God and to increase the effectiveness of our teams. So through the store is one of the ways that we can do that. You can support by giving through that store and picking up something that's actually from Guatemala. It's really cool. So we encourage you to do that. And little is much when God is in it. Yes? Okay. We've been on a powerful journey, I think, through this series. So this one and two more messages, Lord willing, we'll wrap this series up, and this is the journey to freedom. So we actually have been on a journey, and I'm kind of want to paint that picture for you real quick so you can kind of see. And if you haven't listened to all the messages, I really encourage you to go to our website and listen to them. But week one, we laid the theological foundation about the foundation of freedom and how you can actually be saved. You can be a believer, but you can still be in bondage. But freedom begins when we surrender to the truth, eliminate the lies, and walk in the Spirit. So there's a theological foundation that we've built this series on. Week two, our journey took us internal, and we talked about the battle within. There's a battle waged within, and how the war is in the mind, yes, and how strongholds that we have shape our thinking, and it shapes our interactions with people. Those strongholds do. And how freedom requires Spirit-empowered weapons. See, you can't defeat those strongholds on your own. You can't just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can't just will strongholds away. It's only through the power of the Spirit that they can be broken. Last week, we journeyed through relational freedom, and we discovered freedom in forgiveness. There's freedom in forgiveness, that God forgave us, and He's freed us from condemnation. He heals scars, He heals shame, and He empowers us to forgive others. Because you can't forgive someone on your own. It's not in our nature to do that. But through the power of God, you can forgive those who have hurt and sinned against you. Now, today we're going to be journeying through emotional chains, and we're stepping into the one of the most common and most crippling chains of all, and that is the chain of fear. The chain of fear. All right, now, I want to start by asking you a question, and I want you to just hear the question, and I'm going to give you like 15 seconds to think of the answer. Not out loud, right? Here's the question. What are you most afraid of? What are you most afraid of? And I want you to think about your life right now. And that thing that maybe keeps you awake at night, the thing that pops up while you're driving your car, when you're alone. What are you most afraid of? You might even want to write it down. And if you don't know, if that answer is not clear, I'm going to ask you to maybe ask the Holy Spirit, will you reveal what I'm most afraid of? For some people, it's, I'm afraid of the future. I don't know what the future holds. I'm afraid of that. For some, it's a failure. I'm afraid to fail whatever I do. Maybe you're like me and you've before been enslaved to the fear of rejection. Maybe you fear loneliness. Maybe financial collapse or ruin. If you live paycheck to paycheck, you're like, I don't know, I'm afraid. Maybe you're afraid of sickness. I tell you, we've just gone through with COVID and all that happened for a few years. There was a fear, a spirit of fear over sickness. Maybe you fear death or the death of someone that you love. Maybe it's more subtle for you. Maybe fear of losing control. Fear of what people might think about you. Fear that God might not come through for you this time. He might not. Fear comes in many disguises. Sometimes it's loud and paralyzing. Sometimes it'll stop you in your tracks. Other times it's quiet and it just kind of hums in the background. It's just that background noise, the static that you can't quite turn off. I'm going to tell you this, fear is one of Satan's most effective chains of bondage. It doesn't always have to bind your hands or trap your feet. It just has to keep your heart small. Your mind distracted, and in some cases, your faith silenced. But here's the good news, and I want you to hear this, whether you're here in the room or you're watching online, I want you to hear this good news. Jesus didn't die just to save you from your sin, but He came to set you free from the bondage of fear. And Scripture talks a lot about fear. That's the stop on our journey today. Y'all ready to go on the journey? I'm going to ask you to stand in the honor of reading God's Word. We have these two verses, quick verses that we're going to read together so you won't be standing long. But before we read, would you just pray with me and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to you in this area of fear, freedom from fear? Would you pray with me, Lord? We need you now. Holy Spirit, would you reveal these areas in our life where we need deliverance from this entrapment, this bondage of fear? Would you speak to me in my own life on this subject, God? Continually do that work in me. And I humble myself in this moment, Lord, and I ask that you speak through me. If there's anything that would be blocking the flow of your word to your people today, would you remove it in Jesus' name? And Lord, I pray that you open all of our ears and all of our eyes and all of our hands to be able to receive what you have to say to us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Have your way, God. Have your way. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. We're going to start 2 Timothy 1, 7. Okay, you've got a finger in Romans 8. But here we go. 2 Timothy 1, 7 says this. Let my eyes focus. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of, finish this with me, power, love, and self-discipline. And some translations say a sound mind. Now, flip on over Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Are you there? Here we go. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. If you're taking notes today on this journey, here's the first thing that I want you to know. Number one is fear chains what faith sets free. Fear chains what faith sets free. Now, Romans 8:15 says as plain as day, that we did not receive a spirit that makes you a fearful slave. That's not the spirit that you received when you became a child of God. And that's what fear does, by the way. It enslaves you. See, fear is not just an emotion. You cannot think of it that way. And I want to pause just for a minute with something practical, because I want to be very clear. Now, there is an emotion of fear. We know that to be true. God put in us a protective mechanism of fear. You understand what I'm saying? That's the protective mechanism of fear that would cause you to not want to walk into oncoming traffic. Yes? Yeah, you fear. That's why you pull your hand back away from a hot stove. You get near it, you feel the heat. Oop, don't want to do that. Fear. That kind of fear is a healthy fear. It's God's way of guarding our physical safety, guarding our lives. Okay? So I don't want you to confuse, when we talk about fear, I don't want you to confuse instinct with intimidation. Okay? One is God's gift. The other is Satan's scheme. I'm not referring to the instinctive fear that God's given us. I'm not preaching about that today. I'm not referring to that. We all understand what that is, but that's not what we're talking about. The fear that I'm preaching about today and that Scripture is clearly talking about is a system of bondage from the enemy. It shrinks your territory. It silences your calling, whatever God has called you to do. Fear is out to attack that, and it will suffocate your joy. This fear keeps you in relationships longer than you should be, and it will keep you out of relationships that you should be leaning into. This fear is meant to make you doubt God's sovereign rule and reign over your life. That's what it's meant to do. And stop you from running in your God-given, Spirit-empowered potential as a believer, a warrior, and a child of God. This is one of the tactics that Satan came to Adam and Eve with in the garden. A little fear of missing out. A little fear of, hey, did God really say? A little doubt there, a little fear. I want to remind you again about Israel at the edge of the promised land. God had already promised, I'm going to give you this land. This land is your land. This land is my land. He told them, I'm going to give you the territory. I had to go there, I'm sorry. He had already promised them the victory, did he not? But when they saw the spies with their eyes, when the spies saw the giants with their eyes, fear in that moment screamed louder than faith. And because of fear over faith, God's people wandered and circled around in the desert for 40 years, not because God wasn't faithful, but because fear robbed them of the courage to go in and claim what God had already given to them. Now, and I don't want you to ever forget this, and you might want to write it down. Fear always exaggerates the enemy and minimizes God. I'm going to say that again. Fear always exaggerates the enemy and minimizes God. That's what fear, that's what it's meant to do. You might think, well, my fear has nothing to do with my belief and trust in God. You might think that, I have some fear, but it has nothing to do with my relationship with God. I'm telling you now, that's not true. That's the furthest thing from the truth. The lie of fear will separate you from the faith factor of your life every time. Fear will cause you to compartmentalize your faith and not associate it with your fear. Fear is an isolating mechanism from the enemy, so it has, and the reason it does that is so that it can have free rein to peddle its lies to maximize the enemy. And you don't even think about then how it has anything to do with your faith in God. Do you see that? Do you see how you can be a believer and you can go to church every Sunday and you can hear the Word of God and you can sing the songs and you can pray the prayers, but you can walk in fear every day? It's possible if you're believing the lies of the enemy. It is possible. And all of us in this room at some point, probably, most likely, are guilty of it, including yours truly. Fear chains what faith sets free. If there's a hesitancy in your faith today, if there's a stall in your walk with the Lord, you can guarantee that fear has found an open door somewhere and you have come into agreement in some way, in some area of your life. That's a hard thing to say. See, faith says, God said it. If God said it, I believe it, it's done. That settles it. That's faith. If God said that about me, then I believe that. That settles it. If God says that about my future, I believe it. That settles it. No more worries for me. That's what faith says. Fear says, but what if? Dot, dot, dot. That's what fear says. We will read in the Word of God that God is our provider. He's our protector. We've sung about it. He's our deliverer, our shelter, our strong tower. That He's our healer, our redeemer, our defender. He's our source of joy. He is our everything. We'll sing about that and we'll say amen to all of those statements all Sunday long. But on Monday, we jump right back into the chains of, yeah, but what if He doesn't come through there? What if we get stuck here? What if I never get past this? What if people find out what I said? What if they find out what I did? Some of us are living in the land of what ifs instead of the land of promise. Some of us in our spiritual walk, we've just been wandering around in the desert. I want you to imagine an open door, someone with an open door right in front of them. And on the other side of that door, and you can see it through the door, that's joy. There's your calling, your anointing, your freedom. Right outside that door, and you can see it, and it's open. Just imagine that. But imagine there's some invisible chains of fear that have you bound by the ankle. You're legally free, but you're functionally stuck. Can you picture that? That's what fear does. That's why Romans 8:15 says, plain, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful, what's the word? Slaves. Instead, you receive God's spirit when He adopted you as His own, what's the word? Children. You're not slaves, you're a child. That's what the Word of God says about you. You're not a slave, you're a son or you're a daughter. You're not bound, you're adopted. You got freedom to run around in the backyard. You can even run around in the front yard. That's the difference. That's the difference. See, slaves obey out of fear. Children obey out of love. That's why fear is incompatible with the gospel. Because it keeps you in chains when adoption has set you free. Scripture says that Jesus came, this is in John, by the way, says he came to proclaim liberty to the captives. The message of Christ is that you don't have to live bound another day. Did you know that? You don't have to be bound to fear another day. You don't. Here's number two. The spirit of fear is not from God. It's not from Him. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now that's crucial. It's crucial to know that. Now, let's just break it down. If fear didn't come from God, then where did it come from? Okay. Fear is the enemy's counterfeit. God gives us, and it says many times in Scripture, to have a fear of the, have a fear of the Lord. An awe, a reverence, a fear of the Lord, a holy reverence that leads to, Scripture says, leads to wisdom. Satan has to have a counterfeit because he's not original. Satan twists that into a spirit of fear, which is an unholy torment that paralyzes the soul. There's a fear that God puts in us that's healthy and holy and life-giving. It's a reverent fear. It's the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." This isn't terror of God's punishment. The fear of God, some people think the fear of God is fear of His punishment. That's not it at all. It's fear, it's a reverence for His greatness is what it is. It's the awe that keeps us humble. It's the awe that keeps us dependent on Him, keeps us obedient. It's the awe, fear of God. Healthy fear, listen to me, healthy fear draws us closer to God and will teach us to walk wisely in His ways. That's what a healthy fear does. Now, the fear that Satan puts on us, the counterfeit, is what Paul calls a spirit of fear. There's a spirit of fear. This fear is unhealthy, it's unholy, it's destructive. It doesn't lead to wisdom, it leads to worry. It doesn't produce obedience, it produces bondage. It doesn't draw us to God, it actually drives us away from Him. And Paul reminds Timothy and us that God does not give us that spirit. He gives us what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Self-discipline, right? Now you might think, I'm not fearful, I'm just a little concerned. Now, it's okay to be concerned, but we're not going to be fearful. Is that fair? It's okay to be concerned about something. We're human, but we don't have to be fearful of it. Concern moves you to wise decisions. I'm concerned. Let me pray about that. I'm concerned about this. I'm going to lay this at the Lord's feet. I'm concerned, so I'm going to find out some information. You see, concern leads to wise decisions. Fear paralyzes you. It stops you. Okay? Now, that's the difference between God's spirit and Satan's counterfeit. Here's the problem. We'll tolerate fear. The counterfeit fear, we'll tolerate it like it's normal. And we let it take up space. We let it take up space in our minds, and we let it dictate our choices. Here's the truth. What you tolerate will eventually dominate. What you tolerate in your life, it will eventually dominate. If you let fear camp in your heart and in your mind, it will not stay a guest. It will become your master. Because fear and the enemy and sin just doesn't come in just a little bit and stop. You can't just give over a little bit to it and the rest of you be holy. It's going to take and take and take and take and take and take. And some of us right now need to tell fear to take a hike. You need to tell it to go away. And we need to repent and turn from a spirit of fear and break our agreement with fear over our lives and decide that we're going to come into agreement about what a holy God says about us and about this situation. I'm telling you, that needs to happen for some of us today. Because fear does not come from the Lord. And if you're dabbling in fear, if you're tolerating fear in your life, if you wrote something down when I asked you that question, what are you afraid of? If you're dealing with that, if you're allowing that to consume your thoughts and your minds, I'm telling you that's something that needs to be repented of today. You're like, well, that's harsh, Pastor, but that's the truth. Here's number three. Perfect love drives out fear. 1 John 4:18 says that. Perfect love expels, it drives out all fear. Where fear dominates in your life, if you want to get rid of it, love is going to be what drowns it out. Where fear dominates, love gets drowned out. If you allow fear to dominate, love gets drowned out. Where love reigns, fear has no ground to stand on. All right? Now I want you to think about it. Fear and love cannot coexist. They can't. They cancel each other out. Either one's dominating or the other's dominating, but you can't have fear and love at the same time. How? Okay, how? How is that true, Pastor? If you're rooted in fear, if that has taken root in your life, then what you're really doubting is you're doubting God's love and care for you. Yes or no? Yes. If you're rooted in His love and you know that God loves you and He cares about you and He knows what's best for you and all things will work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose and you believe that, then fear has to leave. There's no room for it in that kind of thinking. There's no room for it in that agreement. There's no room for that. Here's how I want to lead you to think about fear and love. Here's how I want to lead you to think about it. Where does love come from? God. Scripture says God is love. Love comes from God, and God is perfect love. So if fear and love can't coexist, that means they come from two different sources. Okay? If fear is not of God, well, let me just say this. If it's not of God, it's not from God. So then it means that fear is from whom? The enemy, yes. All right, now, I don't want you to think of fear and love like emotions. That's what we tend to do. We think of it like emotions. I always want you to think of fear and love like a presence, like a person. Okay, you know where each one comes from, so treat it like a presence, like a person. Fear is when the enemy comes into the room of your life. When he enters into a situation, the presence of fear. comes with him. And love is when God walks in. When God walks into your situation, that's love. That's the presence of love. It's two different presences. I guess that's how you'd say it. Presences. A child wakes up in the middle of the night having terrified from a nightmare. What drives that fear away? A lecture on how dreams work? About the logic or the illogic of that thinking, whatever they were terrified of? Is that what drives their fear away? Is that what puts them at ease? No. It's the presence of the parent being there. The presence of someone who loves them unconditionally. They know when mom or dad walk in the room, everything's going to be all right. And they forget about the fear, the terror of that dream, and they go back to sleep. The presence of love is stronger than the presence of fear. Do you believe that? Yes. Now, the same is true, just like that illustration of the dream and the child, the same is true with God. Fear has to go out the door. It has to leave in the presence of the Father's love. Now, when we talk in terms of freedom, freedom is not the absence of something. It's the presence of someone. And that someone is Jesus. If you want freedom from fear, it will be the presence and the person of Jesus Christ in your life. Fear says, God might abandon me. That's what fear says. The person fear. If you think of it like a person. That's what fear's saying. It's stupid. Love says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. See the difference? Fear says you're too broken in your sin. Y'all, you're too broken. Love says nothing can separate you from my love. Nothing. Nothing can separate you from my love. Fear says, what if you fail? Raises that question. That's what he does. Love says, even if you fail, I'll lift you up and use it for my good and for my glory. Now, the truth that we all know is fear will come. It will come, won't it? It'll come. And you'll have to deal with fear. That's warfare. That's warfare. It's part of life. Fear will come a-knocking. The presence of fear will come on you. The problem for the believer is when you don't send it packing. That's the problem. And you tolerate it. You allow it to stand right there in the room of your situation. And you start to listen to what fear has to say. And then you start to believe what it has to say over you. That's the problem. And then you start to either try to pretend like it's not there, or you try to find your workaway around what it's saying to you and whatever you need to do to numb you of that fear. That's human nature, by the way. Fear's like a bad salesman to me. It's like a bad salesman. Fear will say, oh, yes, you're going to deal with fear. You're going to deal with that. That's a problem of life. Yes, indeed. You're going to deal with it. Yes, indeed. And I've got just the thing that you need. Just imagine this really bad salesman at your door. I've got just the thing that you need. Here are some coping mechanisms for you. I've got a plethora of options for you to pick from. You see how fear starts peddling something to replace the presence of God in your life. It'll do it every time. If you allow it to be right there, fear, when you feel it, if you tolerate it, if you allow it, it's going to start trying to sell you a bill of goods that will be no good for you. Faith doesn't mean that you don't see the problem. You can't be oblivious to it. You're going to have problems. There are going to be times when fear comes. Faith doesn't mean that you don't see the problem. Faith means that you see past the problem to the answer. And it's not that. And that's what love does. When the presence of God and His love steps into your situation, steps in the room, well, here's what it does. It shifts the focus from fear's lies to God's faithfulness. It'll shift focus. Now, I want to give you some practical steps to walk free in this area. Okay, and I'm done. It'll be a short sermon today. So how do we actually walk out of fear? How do we walk out on fear and into freedom? Okay, here's four practical steps. Number one, pray about your fear out loud. Get alone and pray about your fear out loud. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. From all of my fears. Don't minimize it. Don't minimize fear. Don't minimize what you're feeling. Name it, confess it, and then release it to God. Release it to God. But I'm encouraging you not to just internalize it. I'm encouraging you to voice it. There's something powerful that happens when you voice your fear. Okay? Here's number two. You want to walk out on fear? Here you go. Replace fear with Scripture. When fear says, I can't, I want you to declare Philippians 4:13. Which says, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When fear says you can't, you'd be like, I can, yes I can. And I will. In God's grace. When fear says, I'm alone in this. No one understands me, I'm alone. And you feel that. You feel that loneliness. Have you ever felt lonely? When fear says, I'm alone, I want you to declare Joshua 1:9 that says, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You're never alone. You're never alone. Number three, stay close to community. Stay close to community. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. You know, fear, it wants to isolate you so it can peddle its lies, right? It wants you to buy what it's selling. So it's going to isolate you, and it's going to tell you you don't need to be around other believers right now. It'll say you just need to deal with this on your own. You need to deal with this before you can go back and. You know, God won't want to hear your worship. He won't while you're dealing with this. That's a lie from hell. That's a lie from hell. So stay close to community. I've seen it over and over again in my ministry. I've seen it over and over again. The enemy just tries to cull out of the herd and isolate. And when he gets you alone, you're a sitting duck. You're a sitting duck. Isolation magnifies fear. Community can multiply faith. How? How can community multiply faith? Well, number one, me coming here and I look at you and I'm reminded of your stories. I'm reminded of your testimonies. When I see you in the hallway, I'm reminded of what the Lord has brought you through or what he's bringing you through. I know what some of you struggle with or what you're walking through. And it gives me courage and encouragement to think, wow, they're struggling too, so am I. I'm not alone. See, when you think you're alone, you'll be like, well, I'm not alone. When we share our testimonies with each other, we encourage it. See, and it, sometimes it's just seeing your face. For me, brings such deep encouragement to me. Being in community, knowing that we're all walking together. We all come from our backgrounds. We all come from our hurts and our wounds. But we're not alone. See, that builds my faith. When God speaks to you and you release it, all I see is God working through. I see God working and he used you. See, that increases my faith. When you step out in faith, I think, well, if they can do it, so can I. And I can't tell you how many times when my faith has been lacking, but yours hasn't. And you've said or done something, and I've been like, oh, that's a word from, here we go. If they can stand in faith, I can too. So stay close to community. Number four, worship in the face of fear. Worship in the face of fear. In God's presence, fear has to go. The enemy has to flee. He's gone. He cannot stand it when God's people truly worship him in spirit and in truth. How many times have we been here and you've come in dragging your stuff, us dragging our stuff, and we start to sing? And it's not necessarily about the song we're singing, but I'm telling you, sometimes the presence of the Lord just comes in, and when he walks in, the atmosphere shifts, and something happens in your brain, and it shifts, and the burden that you've been carrying just kind of lifts while you're in the presence of the Lord. Has that ever happened to you before? Yes, because there's something spiritual and supernatural that happens when God's people begin to praise the Lord and go into his presence, because in his presence, fear has to go. It has to. It has to. They cannot coexist in the same space. Fear shrinks in God's glory. Remember Paul and Silas when they were in prison? You'd have thought there would have been a lot of fear in there. There probably was. Fear probably entered that jail cell when they were in there and they were chained up. But what did they do? They started to sing. They started to worship. And guess what happened? The chains fell off. Both physically and spiritually, the chains fell off. The jailer winds up getting saved. His whole household winds up getting saved. And it all started in worship. Worship in the face of fear. It's not just a Sunday activity. I'm telling you, when you realize the power of worship as a weapon against the enemy, it will change the way you approach worship on Sunday every time. I mean, and you'll be like, you'll be putting on the tunes in the car, you'll be putting them on your phone, and you have them in your ear, you'll be humming them around, you'll be doing whatever you have to do to get into the presence of the Lord and singing and worshiping him. Yeah. Some of us walked in today carrying invisible chains of fear. I know it like the back of my hand. I know it. Anxiety maybe has your heart gripped so tight you can't hardly breathe. Fear of rejection has silenced your voice. Fear of failure has paralyzed your steps. You're not walking in what God has called you to do because you're so paralyzed by fear. You're like, what if it doesn't work out? What will people think of me? What if that fear of future has robbed your peace? But today you don't have to bow to fear any longer. You do not have to let it linger in your presence any longer. Romans 8:15 says you're not a slave to that. You're a child of God. You can walk free today. 2 Timothy 1:17 says God has not given you a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. Psalm 34:4 says he has delivered you from all fears, not some, not most, all. And right now, today, you can trade fear for freedom. So, now let me go back to my question. What are you afraid of? What has the enemy and his presence there peddled to you that you've tolerated? And you've been listening to. What is it? I dare say perhaps that's what the invitation is about. That's what the invitation is about for you.